You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I loved you all day. You know, I'm still disappointed that you got rid of my favorite dog in Marcus Smart. But you did bring me back a dog in return. And Holiday, man, he is relentless defensively, probably a little bit more consistent score than Marcus Smart. But I think he fits in well with what they do. And he's going to have added incentive to play against, isn't there a gentleman from Milwaukee that was trained? Oh, I know Dame Lillard. He's going to have added incentive to come back and stick it to the Bucks.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. And this episode, of course, is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. New customers right now can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. That's right, $200. That's at FanDuel.com/Boston. I'll tell you more about that later. But we got to get into what Celtics have been doing this week.
Hold on. Since you said that, I got some money right now. I'm saying Mac Jones is going to be benched again.
You putting your money on that bet? All right.
I think FanDuel probably got that one down. Woo.
I mean, there's a lot of people in the Patriots fan base right now that probably take that bet, but we'll wait and see this weekend and see what happens. But yeah, the NFL season is in full swing for sure. So head over to FanDuel.com/Boston. And as the NBA starts back up, the preseason, first week of the preseason, we got our first glimpse of this revamped Boston Celtics team featuring, of course, the big unicorn in the middle. That's Kristaps Porzingis, who was traded during the offseason, and Drew Holiday in the backcourt, which I guess the Celtics went ahead and went against our advice, right, Max? If you remember our last episode, we were pretty much saying it's going to come down to trading someone like Robert Williams. And we were sort of on the fence about it. At the end, we decided not to. It was probably in the best interest of the Celtics not to do that, but they went ahead and did it anyways. Malcolm Brogdon joined him. Two future first-round picks. Drew Holiday has now pushed the Celtics to become one of the favorites to win the title in 2024. How are you feeling about Drew Holiday right now?
I love Drew Holiday. You know, I'm still disappointed that you got rid of my favorite dog in Marcus Smart, but you did bring me back a dog in return. And Holiday, man, he is relentless defensively, probably a little bit more consistent score than Marcus Smart. But I think he fits in well with what they do. And he's going to have added incentive to play against, isn't there a gentleman from Milwaukee that was trained? Oh, I know Dame Lillard. He's going to have added incentive to come back and stick it to the Bucks. I had the opportunity to talk to Drew a little bit at the hotel the other day. And his wife, and we're going to see if we can get on the podcast, but his wife wrote a great article about loyalty and what is not loyalty. And she mentioned that Drew Holiday, 2 days before the trade, he had he was on his Instagram feed and he put in Buck for life. Well, life must have been 2 days. And we talked about that, and he said, and she said, you know, it's really funny how if a player wants to be traded, he's castized. He's castized. But if a player is traded, then so what? And
right.
I was talking to Drew about the same thing at the hotel. He said, yeah, so what? He said, get over it. You know, go on with what you're doing. He said, I said, how'd you find out? He said, I took a nap. I woke up and my wife talked to me and he said, didn't hear from the Bucks, but he heard from his agent and the rest is history. He was out the door and a little uncertain. He talked about his daughter who is of age now where she has friends in Milwaukee and It was going to be tough on her, but he understands it's a business. But boy, what a cutthroat move that he felt it was for the Bucks to kind of get rid of him in favor of bring Dame Lillard in.
Yeah, that's the part of the whole letter that really surprised me, that he didn't even get a heads up from the organization. Like, that part really surprised me. And I get it.
Why did that surprise you? Why the hell did that surprise you? Wait a minute. Did Marcus Smart get a heads up?
No, he didn't. He didn't. But at least in the Celtics' defense, you would like to believe that they had the Malcolm Brogdon deal in place. And maybe that was the reason why. But real quick, I was just going to say, from the Bucks' perspective, I understand the fact that they were sort of trying to do this thing. You know, they're trying to keep this thing hush hush. Like, no one was talking about the Bucks in the Lillard sweepstakes, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? You don't want that to get out. You especially don't want Lillard's camp to find out about that, because they're trying to send their guy to Miami the whole time. So I get that you kind of want to keep things under wrap. But right before you agree to that deal, Drew should have got a phone call. Come on, Max. That guy helped you win a championship. Okay, that guy helped you win a championship.
This is how it is. It's called misdirection. You look this way, but the play is going on the other side of the court. That's misdirection. You know, people keep saying now, and you know, I hate to be, that's one of those Trump lines people are saying. But
yeah. it's your own opinion, but you're people are saying.
They talked about Giannis possibly tampering when they were picking players for the All-Star game, and Giannis, the first player he took was Dame Lillard. Mm-hmm. And LeBron said, man, that's kind of strange. And now for them to be teammates together made me give a little bit more strange. Coincidence? Maybe. But at the end of the day, players don't get it. Surprise you fans. Players don't get informed until, you know, the third hour, until it's over. You know, nobody's calling you. You think that Marcus Smart having green hair, and all of a sudden, hey, no, you're not involved in the trade. You're okay. You're good.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah, to tell someone they're good and then go trade them, that's a little shady. But my thing is, there are some players who should get that heads up, especially a guy who was right after Giannis, just as important. I mean, after Giannis, the most important person on that team that brought you a title.
They don't do that this way. That's normally not how it goes. If a player,
you think that's right? You agree with that?
If a player, I don't agree with it, but that's just the way it is. That's just business. Good. That's why I want fans to get over this thing about if a player says, I don't want to play here, and then fans get all up in arms about, oh my God, you don't play. And then all of a sudden you get a guy who says he wants to be here and he's traded the next day. I mean, this guy said Buck for life.
Perspective.
Milwaukee Buck for life, right. And I won a championship with this team. I bought them a chip. I was a huge contributor in doing this. What do I get in return?
Pretty much.
See you later.
Not even a goodbye. I mean, we don't know. Maybe they had a conversation after the fact, but at that point, it's too late, right? You want to know beforehand, or at least you want to say,
right here.
I got a.
You see this right here?
Conversation.
A kick right out the door. That's what. Bye. See you later. Take your $37 million. Take that and go to go to Portland, and Portland doesn't want you, and now we're going to send you back to send you to Boston. That's a hell of a trade. That's a movement. Your head had to be spinning, because he knew once he got to Portland, probably wasn't going to be there. And then, boom, coming all the way back across the country. You went from one coast, West Coast. You went from the middle of the country in Milwaukee to the West Coast. And then all in another day, you're back on the East Coast. You went all the way across the country. So I'm sure that his head had to be spinning.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
You think Milwaukee just didn't care about the chances that he could be traded to Boston?
Milwaukee cared about one thing, two things maybe. One, the most important thing was keeping Giannis happy.
Sure.
That's one of the one things they wanted to do. And I'm sure that Giannis, they had to talk to Giannis about this particular trade before it went down. Two was, what is the best way of maybe winning another championship? And I'm not saying that Drew isn't Dame Lillard. He's not the scorer that Dame Lillard is, because Dame Lillard and Steph that's 1-2 when talking about range and shooting the basketball. Right. But he is just as good, if not, he's better defensively when you think about Drew Holiday and what he brings to the table. Caring isn't the word I'd use. I just think that teams right now are calculating. And this is what they wanted to do. That there is some appeasement, because remember Giannis said this summer, I'm not thinking if I want to sign an extension. What do you think happened in Milwaukee when he said that?
Panic. What do you want? Let's get it now.
Thank you. Bell's going off. Whistle's going off.
This is not a drill.
What do we have? So their main objective was to appease Giannis Antetokounmpo. That was it. Man, win the championship might even be second to that, to appeasing him.
What do you think about Lillard's perspective from this whole thing? Because he had an interesting article. He had a sit down with Chris Haynes, I want to say like a day or two after the trade went down. And he was talking about how everything unfolded between the organization and himself, saying, you know, the Miami thing didn't work out. There was still that sense of, is he going to come to training camp? What's he going to do? Lillard shows up to the facility, right? This is before training camp and everything. And he sort of talked to the guys. And apparently the GM, you know, Joe Cronin didn't have a conversation with him. So he's thinking, okay, things aren't good right now, but it is what it is. I'm not going to get what I wanted here. Fast forward later in the story, and he's pretty much saying, look, if the Miami thing's not going to work out, we could try to work things out in Portland. And he's told at that point, oh no, we're trading you. We're gonna figure this thing out. It's not gonna probably not gonna be Miami, but we're beyond that point. So it was sort of interesting to hear Lillard say that, because it's like, in one sense, he's like, oh, I'm excited about the opportunity, Milwaukee, but in the other sense, he's like, hey, just so you guys know, like, we could have still made this thing work in Portland. And I thought that's interesting, because it's like, wait a minute, if you're beyond that point of no return, like, it kind of sounds like you're being forced out when you're still being, you know, you get what I'm saying, Max? It's like, you can't have it both ways here, man. Like, you wanted you wanted to, and now you're still in a winning situation, but you're saying, hey, things could have went down differently, just so you guys know, but I'm still going to go to Milwaukee.
No, that ship sailed.
Right.
That ship had sailed. The GM knew what they wanted to do. They knew they couldn't get as much back from Miami. Tyler Hero isn't going to be, sustain you for Dame Lillard.
Right.
Can you get Jimmy Butler? What else can you get from Miami?
Max, if they offer Bam, this is probably a done deal. And I don't know how Miami Heat fans feel about that or whatever, but like, I mean, look, if you look at the other trade packages, you can't say that Portland did look dirty in the sense of like, oh, we could have got the same amount of assets if we changed it to Miami. Come on. You know, the deal that they got for Lillard, I don't think you get that from Miami or anywhere else.
They got
Aiden from Phoenix, and the way they got, you know, Holiday and turned Holiday into more assets.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're them, you look at the assets that you were able to acquire. You got first round draft choices. You end up getting up Rob Williams. You end up getting up Brogdon. There's a kid from DeAndre
Ayton. They also got the Suns rookie too.
So a Suns rookie. So you got a big haul. But what had to happen was you had to have somebody else as a trading partner. And that was a big thing. Somebody else had to come in. And boy, Brad Stevens, man. And for Danny Ainge must be freaking rolling over right now.
Going real quick. That's Blockbuster Brad, all right? That's who that is, Max. That's Blockbuster Brad doing it again. Right before media day, man.
What first round picks? What do you mean they're 26, 27, 28?
And you we can take them all, damn it. Take them all.
Yeah, I turned that into what? I turned that into Drew Holiday? All-star, I turned it into Porzingis.
Porzingis, you can even say Derek White. You can say all those future picks, man. All those future first-rounders.
Yeah, so wow. I mean, I don't think that, and you look at the first-round picks, the late ones you've had, Rob Williams pretty good. Rondo, another one. But after that, you don't start thinking about late draft choices that the Celtics have had between 15 and 28. Mm-hmm. They have really developed into one of those kind of players.
Right.
I mean, Rondo probably had to be at the top of the list, you know, where he was taken. And then Rob Williams had to be, you know, pretty good taken, you know, in his position. But most of those other picks, you don't even remember who they might be. Right. And is
the Carson Edwards, the Romeo Langfords of the world.
Yeah. I mean, and Sellinger. Sellinger was taken, with number 12, 13, something 13, like that. Yeah. Not a bad pick. He was a really good pick. But so far as the Celtics is concerned, he never really stuck. They were ready to move
it. A lot of these guys, they never materialized. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Brad and I got the opportunity to make this move, and I'm sure that he did it with the governors. I can't say the owner. The governors of the team also had to – green light that puppy. You don't think Brown and Tatum had to green light that puppy, you know, about how things were going to go down? Because you remember, Tatum is coming up for a new contract.
Right.
So you have to run some, you got to run that stuff through him. So I'm sure that those two had a lot to do with, there was a lot said to those guys about what was happening. And if you read what the Celtics have said, they said, look, we want to win a banner in the next, you know, our window is here in the next 6 or 7 years. We got
Wick's saying 6 years. Yeah, he's looking at this thing.
We got 6 years to possibly 6-7 years to win a banner, win a couple more banners. And they said, we're going to do whatever it takes. So luxury tax, all that other stuff, be damned. They ready to roll the dice. And, you know, hey, I'm happy that, you know, this team is making that kind of commitment towards doing what needs to be done. Absolutely. Only thing that you and I talked about is, so now, how thin is your bench?
Right. Well, that's the thing, Max. I mean, that's why we were so hesitant when we were talking about this deal last episode, right? Because it's like, man, you give up Rob, you get really thin up in the front court. And this is the first summer we're actually seeing him. He's healthy. He's going into the season. He's been working out in the gym in June and all this stuff. This is going to be the year. This is the time. We see Rob at his full potential. But then Brad, with an opportunity to bring in someone like Drew, he was like, man, this is the best time to trade Rob. This is when his stock is at its highest. This is the type of guy that no other team can put into a deal. And that's what got it done. You know, I got to give Brad props for having the cojones to do it, you know, to pull it off, to get his guy. He's not afraid to. And he put a guy in there. And you also have to think about it like this if you're Brad. 2-4 months down the road, if Rob gets hurt, do you know how many sleepless nights this guy's gonna have thinking, man, I could have had Drew Holiday, I could have had this, you know, backcourt of Holiday and White to match up against the Milwaukee Bucks. Why didn't I trade Rob? I could have had it, I could have. I don't think he wanted to be in that situation. You know, he didn't want to see him down the road thinking that.
I think those were the moves he had. He wanted to make it, he had an opportunity and he rolled the dice. And now you turn around and you invest $30 million into Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, man. He got a little bag.
Did you see that coming?
Yeah, I didn't. You know what, Max? I thought they would extend him, but I didn't think they would do it before the preseason. And then he goes off. Man, he's led this team in scoring in all three of their preseason games. And he's been electric, man. Drained 6 3-pointers in that first game. And it carried over for sure, man. He's determined and he's focused right now, man.
Yeah. So that's
Pritchard.
I give him that. The only thing that bothers me again, very thin, Al Horford, you know, how can he go? Second night back to back, Porzingis with his feet sometimes. How can they go? Again, you know, you look at Brown and Tatum getting a lot of minutes. And the only thing that kind of bothers me about this year, this preseason so far, is where is Sam House's shot going? Mm-hmm. Sam, who is dead red from the 3-point line, shooting probably below 20% right now. Yeah. In the teens right now from the 3-point line. But, you know, maybe that's just an aberration and he'll be back. I think he's too good of a shooter. But, you know, you've done some things. You've got some new coaches in. You know, you got somebody else in Joe Mazzulla's ear. The group of new coaches, assistant coaches they have. It you know what? They roll the dice and God bless them. We'll see if it works.
Yeah, we're getting our first look at it throughout these preseason games. We're also looking at the rest of the roster and how that's going to make up throughout the preseason and going into the regular season, right? How does Joe Mazzulla handle these rotations and what the starting lineup's going to be like? All that good stuff, man. We'll get into it in our next episode. So stay tuned for that. That's going to do it for this one. He's Cedric Maxwell. I am Josue Pavone. Got plenty more to break down from Celtics preseason and whatever else happens in between, right? It's the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.